Welcome, everyone, and welcome to the Mission of Maitreya Members Room meeting. Everybody has good sound so far. Would anybody else like to check their mics?
Salam, everyone.
Salam, Maitreya. Good sound. It looks like there's 11 of us in the room tonight, so it looks like we won't be doing the Super IM tonight, which is really good that we have more people joining us tonight. So before we get started, does anybody have any topics that they would like to discuss tonight? Well, how about a discussion on a recent news event? I saw in the news clipping yesterday that Barack Obama there's been some protests against his health care issues. Does anybody have any opinions on that?
Well, my opinion is the teaching of the United States is not working any longer, and it's time to go to Maitreya's teachings.
Would anybody else like to speak so we can test and see how their sound is working?
Okay, here.
That's good sound.
Salam, am I coming in all right?
Good sound.
Salam, good sound here.
Good sound.
Hello, I'm good sound here, I believe. Couldn't hear Sarah G. when she was talking before.
Yes, we can't. We cannot hear you. Okay, we have everybody just take the mic for a moment and introduce themselves to the group so we can get to know each other.
Sure, I would be glad to start. Let me make sure my sound is coming through good before I continue. Great. I'm Kiosha, I lived in the mission community for many years, and right now I'm living in North Carolina, and I'm a contact person for the mission, and trying to stay connected by doing the services, reminder, meditation, and keeping in touch with people through emails right now. I'll go ahead and release the mic now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Yunus. I live in Turkey and run a yoga center.
Salam, everyone. I am Radha. I lived in Canada, in Quebec, province, the French part of Canada. I am in the mission since more than 20 years now.
Salam, it's Tahara. As Rada, I've been in the mission over 20 years too, but I just want to say thanks God for all the support and being with the meditation class tonight. It was so wonderful to have everyone there. Thanks God.
It was a good class. Oh, thanks God.
I wish I could have been there. It was, I just got off work 5 minutes before the meeting started. All thanks to God that everybody's here tonight. This is great to see this many people here. And I'm Mandala, by the way. I should have said that in the first place. But I've been with the mission for, I've studied the teachings for about 4 years, but really been coming closer for about 2 years.
Salam, everyone. I'm Noor. I was born into the mission. I went away for college for a couple of years, but I am back now.
Salam, everyone. All thanks to God. In October, I will have been in Do I have to hold this down for you to hear me? Transmitting? Can you hear me now? Oh, thank you. Okay, so in 2 months I will have been in the mission for 2 years coming in October, and I am in a new community in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I really enjoy speaking to total strangers anywhere about the Messiah, about the end time, and so on and so forth. And when anybody responds with any interest whatsoever, I give them a card. So, am I still? No mic to speak? Oh, I see. Okay. Anyway, if anyone has any suggestions on a stranger in paradise, a stranger in a new community and approaching people, I am approaching in a very, and have been now for a couple of months, approaching a minister in the Agape Church. But anyway, if you have any suggestions, please let me know.
Shalom, everyone. I hope my sound is coming through. I'm Ananda Ma, and I'm another one of those who have been with the mission over 20 years.
And you can type Hosh Reminder if you want, but I'll just quickly say that Hosh Reminder is a man that lives in Austin, Texas, named Maverick, and he's just recently started coming to the mission and talking with us. So, Shalom, Hosh. Great to see you here.
Years, that's great. Anybody else? Is there anybody left?
If I could, I'd also like to welcome Hosh Reminder. He communicated with me by email asking for some of the flyers that God made through me for the mission. And again, while I'm mentioning that, those flyers are available to anyone in the mission. I'd be glad to send them to you if you just send me your email address. Such an easy way to spread the message.
It is such a great way to spread the message, and also just talking to people too. you know, just going out and discussing it with anybody we know. You know, that's how I started talking with people that I know or see on a regular basis. And I know it's been a couple hundred so far. And, you know, I don't know when, you know, the message will go with them, but, you know, just, you know, keep talking about it as much as we can and getting the message out. You know, at some point something will happen, and to leave it to God for how that's going to happen. But has everybody else been talking to people about this? And what are their impressions of the mission?
As far as I know, yes, I'm in a, my RV is parked in a park, and the owner of the park finally, yesterday, tuned into Maitreya.org. So I'll be talking to him soon to find out what his impression is. And the minister, I gave him a couple of printouts, and he wrote comments on them, and all of his comments, he was agreeing with it all the way through. But those are the only two responses, and so to me, both of them are positive. And once again, I really leave the results to God. I have no emotional attachment to it, but it is extremely exciting, and it's extremely good and God to be on the money.
I would say of all the people I talked to, the message has been pretty positive. I don't say that a lot of people walk away saying that my trade's a Christ, but they're still curious. They're very interested in it, but at the same time, they don't put the efforts out to go out and read the book. Of all the people I've talked to, I'd say only a couple have read The Holiest of the Holies all the way through. And both of them love my trade and his teachings, so... Anyway, anybody else have any experiences? I'm reading here from Maverick. You know, that's funny. I always talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses that come to my door always about Maitreya, every time. it's great. They love talking about religion, so it's a pretty good experience.
I remember one time at the mission in Andamah, and I had two Jehovah's Witnesses at the door, and we invited them into the mission and had a long talk about the mission. It was great.
I think it's pretty surprising to those people who come to preach, and then surprisingly they get preached.
I know, I love those conversations. Thanks to God for those.
Yeah, most people I talk to, like over here or over the internet, it seems like everyone is so surprised because of everyone pretty much expects the Christ Messiah come like in a very, very, I don't know, like big event, or so they find it hard to believe, even though the message makes sense, everything, teachings make sense, and they just like wait.
I think that's what it seems like to me, that people are waiting for something. They're not so sure about it, but they're just waiting for some big event, and they think after this event. But the prophecy is that Christ would come like a thief in the night. I don't know if people know what that means.
also many people don't know that it's going to happen in three incarnation, and therefore they're not looking for the three incarnation. So that is one problem. That's why they don't understand what Thief of the Night means. It means coming very quietly and only calling the elects.
It's a very important prophecy. They can't pick and choose, but they, you know, they, if they accept their religion, then they have to accept the prophecies that go along with it. But they're not seeking it either. I think they're not seeking anything now.
Many who are familiar with the Bible do know about the thief in the night, and so I asked them, well, how would you treat a thief in the night? And I said, basically, you don't even know he was there. So that I suggest that the current ministry is just to deliver the message, and the message has been delivered. But then I don't get very many bites on, and I do tell them I know the message, and there's no mysteries of God inside of me. But I don't get very many bites on it. But I did get one bite from the minister, and he's getting material.
Well, if they don't bite, change the bait.
Yeah. You gotta go from a different direction. Does everyone talk about the greatest sign in the when they talk to people about the mission? Do they talk about the greatest sign in the different angels of Revelation and those teachings?
I usually don't have a chance to get that far. I have a friend that will come over and do services with me sometimes with the mission, and she does it because she trusts me and knows that what I'm into is good. But the people that I meet, for the most part, I get as far as, you know, suggesting that they go and check out www.maitreya.org.
Yeah, I have the same experience. You know, the people from my generation, it's impossible to start with the angels of Revelation and the seven seals, because they have barely been exposed to religion at all. You know, the most they've gotten is in passing through movies and culture. They've just been completely disconnected from religion as a whole. So, yeah, the best I can do is, you know, I can say go to the website, and when they ask me about religions, I can explain, you know, misconceptions that they have and clear those up, and then explain how they all connect to each other. But you know, the generation, the American generation, my generation has been taught to accept any ideas but not believe anything, basically. So you can talk to them and they'll be like, yeah, that's interesting, that makes sense. But they've actually been conditioned not to really think about what they're believing, just to gather information. So, you know, we do the best we can. Thanks, God.
That's interesting that people would do that. They don't even think about what they just absorb the information, and then it just goes right in and goes right back out again. That's an interesting concept. And I see a lot of that myself, actually. That's probably why we don't see a lot of people biting. You know, I've talked a lot about the history. I like talking about Abram and Abraham and talking about the second seal. And the prophecies that have been found, I love talking about the prophecies. And then talking about all seven seals and how they work together. And, you know, people seem to respond to it, but you're right. They don't seem to bite in terms of actually going to the website. It's like they absorb the information, they smile, but then it stops. And that's interesting the way you phrase that, Noor.
Yeah, I've recently started trying to lead it in with meditation, you know, explain how wonderful meditation is and how useful it is. And my hope is that, you know, if they realize, you know, if they try it and they realize how great it is, then you know, maybe they'll be more interested in the rest. So I've gotten a couple of my friends to try meditation, but, you know.
Like, most of my conversation starts with, like, some, in the yoga center, usually, like, we talk about some aspect of, I don't know, some religions, and it usually comes to a question, like, they, you know, something doesn't make sense, and then at that point, usually I, like, talk about the, like, the historical explanation of the greatest sign, and bring it up to the present, and then, like, usually give the source of this information as the mission, and then just leave it to them. Many people, like, are get too, excited about it and go to the website, and then they come back and they usually are shocked. They don't really understand the greatest sign, and or ask me, like, oh, is this a Satanist group, or is this that, is this this? And then we get into those things. But, yeah, I usually talk to them about the greatest sign, at least briefly.
After I say something good about another religion, I just get a blank stare. People really have not investigated any time or effort into other religions.
I was just thinking that I think it's a little hard to try to plan what you're going to say for each person. I think that it's different for me anyway with each person that I talk to about the mission. It depends on what's happening, what we're talking about, how you lead into the teachings with each one. One of my ways is I always go, you know, going according to the greatest sign and start with the teachers of each of these religions or the prophets. Most times, but not always. There's always something that leads you into the area that you need to go into with the teaching with each person. I think that's for me that I've noticed, because I've also noticed that recently, I think more and more people are open to other ideas as far as one God and all the different teachings and how they do fall into a path, and it makes it easier to say how, you know, God and his supreme way is so, I think of the word I'm using, but his everything is so falls in such a perfect order, you know, by each of the prophets. Anyway, I didn't have anything planned to say, but it just popped up to me to say that it's usually different with different people.
Yeah, it's always a different situation, a different circumstance, different person, different personality type. Yeah, it's always different. Each conversation just comes, it happens. I don't plan for it either. It just happens, and then I just talk about it because I love talking about it. And my favorite part's to talk about the history, but also, you know, I love talking about Revelation and talking about how all the about the different angels, and especially with Isa being the third angel, and, you know, talking about history, you know, and the prophecies. The one we found fairly recently, in the process of working on the video, was Deuteronomy 18:15 and 18:18, which I love talking about that recently, because I think that's amazing that there are prophecies for two different prophets, and most people don't see that. I think that's an amazing thing to point out to people. There's some two prophecies, 18:15 and 18:18. Here, let me get the book. I'll be right back.
And let me read what Hashimaya just posted. He says, like, people I talk to think that Isa is the only person to follow. They want to accept in a new revelation. Yeah, I think that's basically the reason we are going towards, like, more tribulation. And that's the situation over here. People think Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. And sometimes to most people it's even surprising to hear there is a new revelation. Or it's a blasphemy to even say that.
But of course, you know, through all of this, you know, however we spread the message and in any way we can, you know, the purpose is just to give it to them. And if they are called, you know, Maitreya teaches that if they are called and chosen, they will come. And if not, then we leave them to God. So really, really, you know, however we do it, as long as we give them the message, that's what matters. And the rest is not our duty.
And I think through this, all the sharing of the message and trying to spread the mission is also aimed at strengthening our own faith, because, you know, it takes people behind this mission to really get the base of the mission going. And, you know, those of us that are willing to stick with it, we definitely need to become stronger and stronger behind this so that others that come in will be able to be strong as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, that like anything we do, I think I do, for the mission or any voluntary work or spreading the mission, like anything, I think helps me the most, helps the person the most. And, you know, you have to take the speck out of your own eye first so that you can help others. So, yeah, all thanks to God.
That's true.
It's just like what is said in the meditation process that we just heard, you know. We are, you know, we are in this world but not of it. That's the ideology. And we do not let them bring us to the world, but we bring them to God.
Did anybody want to hear Deuteronomy 18:15 and 18:18? I don't know if anybody's curious about that. Here's 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. This is thy brethren. And then I'll read 18:18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Two different prophets.
This is a bit of knowledge that that Maitreya revealed to us in doing the video, that, you know, among thy brethren refers to from them. So you know, this is Moses. So from among the Jews, so that was Christ. And then from their brethren, you know, comes from the line of Ishmael, who are their brothers. So the most, you know, from the Arabs, and so Muhammad. Both of them are prophesied in those two spots. That's correct, right, Maitreya?
You're right, correct, exactly.
Yeah, it was an amazing discovery during the video, and there were a lot of discussions about two different sides, whether it was for Moses or whether it was talking about Isa. And then to discover that there were two different prophecies was amazing as we were discussing this. It was beautiful. And Maitreya was the one, of course, that found it as we had some good discussions about it. Anyway, I love talking about that to people, and there were two different prophets. You know, most people think it was just one, or they're not familiar with their religious scriptures at all. I find a lot of people that haven't read anything, and so they are completely have no idea.
Also, just like contemplating on what just Noor said, like living their results to God. And you know, if one is chosen, I think then one has no choice and is looking for this teaching anyways in some level. Because I think in the feast we will hear like again, hopefully, everyone's experience, how they find the mission, how they come into the mission. Usually, like the people that come and find the mission and the teachings, you know, amazing, and like they get all excited. They just found the mission somehow, and it just makes sense. And then usually they don't need like I don't know, too much convincing from others to believe that this is from God.
Yeah, once you start reading, though, it just pulls you in, and you can't stop reading it until you've finished it. It's an amazing revelation. And how did everybody else find the mission? I know myself, I was just searching about Maitreya on the internet and happened to run across the website. And, you know, I got pulled in right as soon as I started reading, though, and Maitreya said that Isa was the third angel of revelation. That just pulled me right in. Would somebody else like to tell us about their experience?
I was in a spiritual group, all with people around 60 or older, about 12 women and myself, and they came up with a topic that and this group was about 135 miles north of Los Angeles in a place, the mountains of Tehachapi, and they were talking about a meeting that was coming up in San Francisco, which was All Religions Unified. And my very first reaction was negative. It was like, oh man, they're all a mess, and you get them all together and it'll be a bigger mess. But then my second reaction was that if they got together and dialogued, the wars would stop. And I really, really liked it. But I couldn't afford to go. So a woman handed me a Maitreya.org card, and I put it in my pocket. And that was in August, so September. So the last day in September, I'm going to do the laundry, and I put my hand in those pants pocket and pulled out the card and said, I got to look these people up, so get on. And so then the next day, I was on the internet for 10 hours, and for the next 6 weeks, I was hooked.
Yeah, I find the cards work better than pieces of paper. For a little while there, I you know, I wasn't planning on conversation, so, you know, I would just write it down on a little piece of paper because I wasn't planning it or anything. But now I give them a card and with Maitreya.org, and that, you know, that gives them the opportunity to go back and check it out later.
Well, here at the mission, we have a special technique where if we go to a restaurant and they give us the check and it says place card here, we put one of the mission cards instead of a credit card.
I've done that too.
That's me.
It's always a great thing to give out the cards. And people sometimes just put it in their pocket and they kind of forget about it and don't go. And then some people do check out the website a bit. But I guess the most important thing is, like, so we never know who the person's going to be that's going to pull it out of their pocket and actually go to the website and love it. You know, it's a really good idea to, you know, give those cards out, you know, and talk as much. Of course, I have, you know, working on the video. I use that a lot. I'll use that as an end and say, you know, I'm working on a project, and sometimes that helps me with talking with people. They'll ask about it. They'll be curious, and then I go, oh, they asked me. Okay, now I can talk about it. And I go into much more detail about the teachings, the religion, and, you know, all of that.
We have had some prophecies about Native Americans that we put in the newspaper, newsletters, and I was wondering if anybody read them and anybody think about it. I'm hoping they come and join us.
I know I read those. Did anybody else read them? They were great, great prophecies. I'm just wondering how I can get, how we can get in contact with Native American groups to spread the message.
Do you think it makes them to come and see that they are a part of this and join us? Or do you think we should create a committee or something to go and invite them?
Well, I think we should find ways of reaching out and reaching out to that community. Mm-hmm. I think once they read the message, I think it would make sense. Absolutely. What does anybody else think?
Yeah, that might be a good idea, because I think, like the Hopis, I guess you were talking about, like, they expect, like the, you know, look at what they call it, but the messenger or the great white brother, I think, to come to their town. Like, I think they, people also look for like a literal fulfillment of that. That might be a good idea, to have a committee and reach out to them.
Or do you think even they don't have many people who are really believing in prophecies anymore, so the number of the elders or the people believe is so few that if even they believe in it, the rest not going to be following them?
I think you'll see some of that too, but I think somebody will respond, and we have no idea who those people are going to be. No idea whatsoever. When you talk to people, the last person in the world that I thought would say Maitreya is the truth was my mother-in-law. She surprised me, absolutely surprised me, that she loves your teachings. And she told my son that he should be helping me support you, by the way.
Yeah, one thing for sure.
You know, I feel like that will be true everywhere in Maitreya, that there will be people that have lost, you know, the original teachings, or they just aren't interested anymore. But my gut instinct tells me that there will probably be less of those in the Native American community, you know, based on their history and the suffering they've been through, and you know how so many of their stories and traditions say that they have to hold on to the old, or they will not be recognized, you know, when the better things happen. That some will have been lost to the world, some will have been, you know, absorbed by the American society. But I bet if we could reach out to them, we'd find a lot more people at least interested than we are used to anywhere else. That would be my instinct.
So it sounds like it's a good idea to reach.
A little feedback, though, from having been a junior high school teacher in a place where there's a lot of Native American kids, with the Native American children, it seemed like there was even more rebelliousness there than you even see in just the American culture. It was amazing how rebellious they were. But again, that's not a deterrent, because
we know there's people, children, adults, whatever, out there waiting for this teaching.
And I was just remembering that one of the people I talked to is Native American, actually. Is actually a teacher in a Catholic school. And I need to go back and talk to her again. Maybe she can give me some ideas as to how we can reach out.
Yeah, it's an idea. Maybe everybody can just meditate on to see how we can reach them and at least give the message to them that their prophecies has been fulfilled and explain in a greater degree, and maybe they turn around and join us. Of course, we know everybody eventually will join us. That's the will of God. But at the same time, God said, with a little effort, you can accelerate things. So it's okay to put effort at the same time, which you guys are doing it anyway.
We're all trying.
You sure are. Thanks God for that.
Yeah, and I agree with that newsletter getting better all the time. It's really beautiful. That's a good idea, too, to go to the Indian websites and try to connect to people. I mean, the Internet is so far-reaching that, you know, there's nothing to say we can't go to websites and you know, start maybe putting something together to, you know, to start attracting each individual group, I guess. And we could have a specific message for, you know, that would be, that would pull Indians in maybe based on their prophecies and other religions as well. And we can just have emails that we send out to various different websites. It's a great way to reach because we can reach so many people in a very short period of time.
Of course, my hope always was that all religions will see the truth and fulfillment of the prophecies and will come and join us. So I was hoping Muslims, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, Baha'is all see the prophecies has been fulfilled and are unified and they join us. Of course, the prophecies of the Indians recently came up and what it was explained. Now I have the same expectation for them. I hope they don't go to follow the same path the other religions went. They became less unified after this revelation, and they become more polarized than unification. So I'm hoping the American Indians won't do that, but of course we will wait to see how they're going to react to this. But hopefully when they reach the point they have no choice, like everybody else, everybody realize that this is what God was doing, and they come and join everybody else. So
I see we have a question there from Maverick. Salam, Maitreya. Our law of attraction, law of deliberate creation, and law of allowing actually universal laws, a lot of New Agers seem to have their own universal laws.
Well, that has been the problem of my will or God's will. And when you say, I am God and I can create my own laws, then it is your will and not God's will. And that's why God sends prophets, revelations, and the scriptures to man to show what his will is. So man has a choice. He always had a choice. Because of that, they choose to not to follow the universal law, but man's desires and wants, and therefore they replace God's law with their own. And that's biggest problem with the New Age is each of them think they are God, and therefore they do not follow the scripture. Of course, they say they are God, so is everybody else, has the essence of God in them. But in order to become an avatar or a perfect master, they should follow God's law. And when they have their own law, how many laws are there in this universe? There's not law for everybody else coming with the idea that it's their way and their law. But who created the universe? God created it, and He put down the nature of everything in them. And therefore, they have to follow that nature. If they don't, then they will bear the consequences. Has been said many times, you cannot break the laws of the universe. Anytime you try, you break yourself against them. And that is the New Agers should realize, then, that although they have the essence of God in them, they have to submit themselves to the will of the Creator who have created this universe and know what works and what doesn't. And when they do that, then they will realize that the Eternal Divine Path is the way, and the way of the Dharma, or the nature of things, is the law of God. I hope that answers the question.
I always tell people his name wasn't Jesus. His Aramaic name is Isa, and his Hebrew name would have been Yeshua, and that his name wasn't Jesus. I always like to share that bit of information.
Yeah, that's interesting. Also, they say we are saved with his name, and then they say a name that is never was his.
I try to point that out every chance, you know. Well, and, you know, I speak with people from different backgrounds and groups. So, you know, some people Buddhists, Muslims. But with Christians, I like that one.
That just can't have been done by chance. Like, what better way to show the Christians how deeply they've misunderstood their, you know, their teachings than something as simple and as profound as that? It's just... God is incredible.
He sure is.
He is. I think he's making it so obvious. Mm-hmm. Celebrate Christmas, and it's in their own scriptures that they're not supposed to, but they do.
And that is to be one of the biggest problems, that they do not listen to God and His Word and His scriptures, and they follow their own ideas and their own desires, and that's been created the situation they are in. And unfortunately, if they continue, they are going to bear the consequences, because God is saying this is the way to do it, and they say, no, we are going to do it our way. And when they see the result of their action, instead of getting awakened and say, yeah, we're going to follow His rules, they even, you know, holding what they have even harder. It's amazing that I don't see any other way than put them in a situation that they have no choice. And that's the reason the tribulation has to come, unfortunately. If they don't listen to God and His way, what other option does He have?
I don't think there are any other options. Maybe that's what people are waiting for. I wish they'd come before that came. Because then, you know, if everybody had seen this and come towards it, there wouldn't even be a need for tribulation, but it seems like it has to happen.
Yeah, even you brought the, you know, the situation with Barack Obama and what is, you know, Mr. Carter is saying about it. Is that true? Is that the fact? Or is there any truth in it?
I think people are polarized because there's two different views, and they call them conservative and liberal. Conservative is concerned with conservation of their own wealth. Whereas liberal wants to help all, you know, more of all of society, and so they're two different, very polarizing philosophies. And I think that's the reason you're seeing so much of this right now, is because both sides, whether it's been conservative in office or liberal, they both have an agenda, and it's completely half the population doesn't agree with it.
But does the race have anything to do with this? That's what Mr. Carter said, doesn't it?
There could be a definite part of it, and I think also that there's the other side of it that they believe in keep holding on to their own money. I think that's a dictionary definition of conservative, is to conserve one's own wealth.
But the liberals aren't the answer either, you know. They go much too far the other way as well.
I agree. So neither one's right. We know we're the right, but it seems like God put these two. It's like these two parties are here at this time and polarizing people. But the answer is really the middle path. I think most people fall in the middle.
Yeah, there's actually an answer in the Golden Keys, in Golden Keys 3, that says, you know, the question is about political parties, and the answer is that, you know, political parties are groups where people come together based on an ideal, but after a while the ideal is always lost, and all that's left is the party, and loyalty to the party becomes more important than what you believe, and at that point a few people take power, and, you know, it's all lost, and, you know, that's exactly what happened. To a T, yeah.
That's why when we go to the Communists of Light, that will not happen to it, because the number of people is so few that they still they can hold into their ideals and stuff, feel powerful, you know, among 12 people.
It's the purest form of democracy that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is.
They call you a communist, Samuel? You should read Golden Keys 3. There's an answer to that question as well. So it's an amazing book, yeah.
I think it's been a while since I've read that one. I was reading another of the Golden Keys I have. I'll have to go back and read it. Does anybody else have anything they wanted to talk about?
I think Harsh Reminder have a question there. If somebody reads it.
I'll go ahead and read it. Salam Maitreya. The souls who follow their religions prior to the opening of the seals and didn't know the whole truth, will they reincarnate to get a chance to accept the teaching?
Those who have been told the eternal divine path and our teachings, everybody will get a chance to hear it once. That's why when you talk about the mission and eternal divine path, and you tell them about it, and you direct them to the website, they are called and they are informed of this revelation. And if they did not accept it, then we are done with them. It's between them and God. With their being reincarnated and hear it again, it depends upon their karma, their understanding, the level of their progress. If there is a chance if they are incarnated next time, they might understand it deeper and join the last revelation of God. They might be incarnated, but they are so far off and fallen that there is no hope for them. Probably they will not. But probably in three incarnation, around 200 years, anybody who will be incarnated will be the ones that already heard the message, accepted, and is a part of it. So God is working in many levels for this mission. As we discussed right now, so many of you pointed out how humanity is lost, how they're not really looking for truth, how they're not even following their scriptures, and when you say them, tell them the about the communism of God, which has nothing to do with the communism. In the communism of light, there is private ownership of wealth, and that is not communism. Communism doesn't have any private ownership. Therefore, they are absolutely incorrect, because it's the communism of light doesn't make it a communist ideology. And therefore, they are so adamant not to listen to anybody, and they are so lost what God has to do with them. If they are not going to come and listen and join, they're not going to come back. You know, after a couple of more chances God might give them. So, the tribulation is coming, the awakening of the human is coming. They have to realize their power, their understanding, their wealth, their progress, their life is come from the source, from God. And when he withdraws it, through history he has shown that when God's grace goes, those powers, those amazing things they could do before is not possible anymore, and they should all become humble and come to God and accept his way. And if they don't, of course, after the next incarnation, they will not be born for 1,000 years, and in that 1,000 years, this system will establish itself and become the kingdom of heaven on earth, and heaven will come on earth. So to answer your questions, God might give them another chance if there is a hope for them, but eventually, if they don't understand it, they will be cut off. Unfortunately, at least for many billions of years before next creation, God decides to go through the same process. And eventually, of course, after many, many creation, hopefully everybody goes back to the essence. I hope that answers your question. Indeed.
Did that answer your question, Maverick?
If it didn't go, you can have follow up.
Great. Yes, thanks to God. Does anybody have anything else? It looks like it's 7:30. Does anybody have anything else that they wanted to ask or say?
To ask, I was listening to a satsang today in one of the rooms, and Maitreya, you were talking about the progress of the universe, and there was something mentioned about supernovas, and the more supernovas were formed, I don't know if I have this exactly, but that the supernovas tied into the progress of the universe. I was just wondering if you could clarify that a little bit.
Well, in the beginning of creation, God just created the dust, the first light elements. In order to create the heavy elements, he had to bring this dust together and eventually create huge suns, which they become warp stars. And at the great pressure that, for example, the whole earth is going to be only 1 inch in a space, and when it reaches that point that the pressure no longer can hold. The heavy metal has already been created, and at the time of supernova, this new material is spewed out and create new suns and planets, and we can see then there is iron, iron and other heavy metal, and therefore it prepares the next creation of civilizations and humans and beings that can progress and know to know God, and therefore it accelerates the process of for the people to reach pure consciousness. Therefore, when such a thing is happening, it's a progress in the universe and accelerate the process of unit consciousnesses toward becoming pure consciousness or going to God. So whole universe is created to guide the lost souls back to the pure consciousness, and many part of the universe is not lost. It actually is a body of God that has been used to accelerate this process. For the whole dust and the Big Bang and the creation and supernova and the black holes. You know, black holes, for example, are the reprocessing the material back to the basic elements, therefore they can come together and create more environment for the unit consciousness is being created and progress. So, so all the universe is created for lost consciousness to become divine and follow eternal divine path. So in that essence, anything happens in the universe is progressive. I hope that answers your question.
You know, with all these questions, I just wanted to say, I remind everyone that, you know, these questions are all great for, during the feast, Maitreya will be in the room for 2 hours, for 2 days during October 3rd and October 5th. And, these are exactly the kinds of things, you know, if you have any of these questions, just email them to the mission and he will answer them then. Yeah, of course, questions not too, but I just wanted to remind everyone, so.
Actually, it's good to send your questions ahead of time of that period. And Salim, Sound of Truth, good to see you here too. Actually, you can take the mic and tell us who you are if you want.
Did you talk to me, Maitreya?
Well, I talked to you too. How are you doing too, Samuel? But I was talking to Sound of Truth, which is fine. I think he's typing anyway. All right, Mandala is yours.
Sound of Truth, if you can't talk on a microphone, would you like to type out and let us know who you are?
Salam, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me or not. If you can hear me, just type something like one. Okay. Salam, Lord Maitreya. I'm so happy to hear your voice. Salam, Lord. I'm also happy to hear your voice. You just grown up and it's so great to see you. And Salam, Ma. Salam, everyone. Sorry, I'm just a guitar band. A little bit...
Salam and thanks God. Sure.
I don't know if you realize that the meeting started about an hour ago. We've been here about an hour. And we're just getting ready to close up the meeting. Did you have anything you wanted to say? Or any questions you would like to ask?
Oh, actually, nothing. I was just happy to see Lord Maitreya and see Lu and Gay and Ma and Tara and everyone here. I just have nothing to ask you. I'm just so glad to see everyone here. I'm sorry, but it's quite big, different times between the mission house and where I live, and I didn't realize that I'm late. Anyway, I'm so happy to see everyone here.
It's good to have you join us. Does anybody else want to add anything? I got to say, this is the most members I've ever seen in the room, a total of 13 in tonight. What was that? Per newsletter, if I'm correct, it is to be discussed the new procedure to come to the mission?
He's referring to an article we're going to have next newsletter, which is going to talk about a lot of some of the new things we've been discussing in the roundtable. So, yeah, you'll see that next newsletter, Hosh and everyone.
Also, I guess everybody knows that posted on the mission website is all the information about the Feast of Tabernacles, and just if you have time during the feast to tune into things and be with the mission, it's just awesome. So I just mentioned that to encourage.
I have to tell you, I wish I was there. It's going to be beautiful. And thank you for posting that, Noor. Yeah, there was also the information, hyperlinks was in the news brief, and also the posting of the schedules. So if you want to see the schedules, and go ahead and check that out. If anybody doesn't have anything else, or do we have anything else? Anybody want to say anything else before we close up the room? And we should all say our shaloms.